Good morning. For all our guests, it's good to have you this morning. I'm Eddie Hilliard. I'm the lead pastor here. We're glad to have you. Wow. 2019, huh? To be honest with you, I'm not quite sure what to think about 2018. I'm not quite sure what to think about it. And I already said we made it. We made it through it. So it was quite an interesting year. You know, I was sitting up on the front row, and I was about in tears because I saw on the stage five college students, one young professional, one high school student, and of course, the rest of us a little bit more mature. What was that right there? And I was just reminded about how passionate I am for young people. About how passionate I am about ECU. I'm as passionate or more passionate today. I'm approaching 55. God help me, Lord. I'm approaching it. And I am more passionate right now than I have ever been for the kingdom of God. I am more passionate right now for ECU and those college students than the first time I stepped foot on that campus in 1990. I am more passionate for them today than I've ever been. I know I'm not out there hanging with you and using your lingo and being extra and all that. I know I'm not out there using your stuff, but you're constantly in my mind. You're constantly in my thoughts. You're constantly in my prayers. We're a multi-generational church. This isn't even what I'm going to preach on today, but I just got to say it. We're a multi-generation. That means from birth to the grave. And we're called to reach every people group. We're called to be a church that's multiracial.
Yes, yes.
Not going after the world's way of division, but we're going to be unifiers under the banner of Jesus Christ. And I am passionate about these young people. I'm passionate. Those of us who are my age and older, we're here to serve these young people because they're going to change the world. They are going to change the world. You young professionals out there, you're going to change the business world. You're going to do it. Not quite sure why I went off on that this morning, but let me tell you something. We're going to be sharing a lot with you over this next month about what we're passionate about here at this church. What we're passionate about and what we want to do here in this city. What gets us up in the morning. What gets you up in the morning. What are you passionate about? We're going to talk some more about that. I'm almost jumping ahead 2 or 3 weeks here, but let me giving you a precursor. Like I said, I'm going on 55 years old, and you don't have to grow cold when you get older. You get hotter.
Yes, you do.
You get more passionate for Jesus. All this stuff about sitting around, I'm, 60 years old. Let me tell you, if you're 60 years old today, we're a multi-generational church. Don't you dare look at me in the face and say, I'm done. Don't you dare look at me and say, I'm going to pass the baton. We're going to pass the baton, but you got a lot more work you got to do. These young people need us. They need us because they're going to change the world. I'm off my notes terribly already this morning.
That's all right, it's good.
But 2019, we're going to believe God together. We're going to have to grab some faith. We're going to have to get some faith. Believe God. Like never before. We're not talking about going off into a cave somewhere and hiding because it's tough out there in the world these days. No, that's when the church has got to rise up. And when I see these young people on this stage, I'm sitting there thinking that's exactly what I want to see. That don't mean as older folk can't get up there and do something too, but I'm just saying I'm excited about what I saw up there. Of course, Beatty Bass, our worship pastor, who's like perpetually young. I don't think he's aged in 7 years, and he's so much cooler than I'll ever be in my dream days. I only dream about being like Beatty. But anyway, so the rest of y'all just hang with me up here, all right? He preached last week and did a good job. So, but we're going into 2019, and I don't know about the rest of you. I was sitting at the house. I don't go out partying anymore. And we were watching the ball drop. You know how the ball drops and you're watching one of the TV channels. And all the commentating and all the singers, and I didn't know who half. I didn't know three fourths of who they were. It tells you how I'm not really in with all the hip hop stuff these days. But I found it interesting that everybody seemed to have this desire or this passion or think there was going to be some magical thing was going to happen as soon as the ball dropped. And we went into a new year. Right. Almost like there was this hope in the new year that somehow my life is going to change. Something's going to happen in this new year. It's like a rebirthing of hope taking place in the new year. And I get that. I mean, I think we all need to reset. And the first of the year, since we're lunar people, is that right in cosmology? You know, just because the sun has, not the sun, I do know a little bit more than that. The earth rotates around the sun in a year. Is that right? Cosmology here. And the moon revolves around the earth. So I'll let you know, I know I graduated from state, but give me some grace here this morning. All right. Come on now. I know I got my state book fan over here. Just pretend I didn't say that to you, Lindsay. But anyway, just because the earth has revolved around the sun doesn't mean life is going to immediately change for you. I mean, we can't put our hope in a 24-hour period and it's crossing over to the next year. Now, believe me, I believe there's something important with resetting, doing a reset, and because of us as human beings and the calendar, this is a good time to reset, rethink about what's important to us, rethink about what's passionate to us, what we want to change in our lives, what we want God to change in our lives. But let me just tell you, your hope has got to be in Christ, not in the linear changes of cosmology. It's going to have to be in Christ, Jesus, because there's nothing magical going to happen just because the clock clicked 12 midnight. It's not going to be a magical descending of something, and your life is immediately going to change. And I noticed it just seemed like that's what everybody had an expectation for on the TV and everything that was being said. Now, as we come into this year, I think as a Christian, if you're not a Christian in here today, bear with me today. But as a Christian, for us to reset, we got to start out doing one thing first, and that's prayer and fasting.
That's right. You're right.
If you want your life to be different than it was last year, if you want God to do some things differently, you're going to have to go to Him, and you're going to have to put your feet at the cross, and you're going to have to let Him work in your life, and the greatest way to do that is through prayer and fasting. Now, let me just say this. There's nothing about fasting that I enjoy doing. I'm just being honest with you. I like eating. You know, it's, or whatever. I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, fasting and types of fasting. But the funny thing to me is I can go 2 weeks and not crave a cheeseburger, which is a major deal for me. Okay? I can go 2 weeks without it. But when I fast, like every day, every minute of every day, I'm craving a cheeseburger. And I don't know what that is about. I'm still trying to decide if I can fast sweet tea or not. I don't know if that's even possible. But anyway, I'm going to work on that. I'm trying, Irene. I'm trying. I can do it. But today, when I'm speaking on prayer and fasting, I know it's not necessarily a fun topic for us, but it's necessary if we're going to go into 2019. It's necessary for us to do that personally, and it's necessary corporately that we do some form of this over the next 10 days that we have designated for this as a corporate body. In no way am I trying to put a yoke on you. Just let me just preface this sermon and what I'm going to share with you. I'm not trying to put a yoke on you in any way. This is totally voluntary. This is totally between you and Jesus. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you want to participate in this, great. If not, that's fine too. But I'm wanting here to inspire you about why it's important for you to take some time here at the 1st of January as we reset the new year to pursue God on a greater level. You know, the disciples knew the importance of prayer. They even went to Jesus and said, how should we pray? And He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's Prayer. It continues on. They understood the importance of prayer. Let me just get this out of the way before we start. None of us pray enough.
We don't.
None of us fast enough. We all fail in this miserably, especially me. And I'm the pastor who has no excuse. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm human. So I just want to get that out of the way so there's no guilt, condemnation, no bad feelings, the fact that I hadn't done this or I haven't done that. All right? So let's just get that out of the way, and I'm going to go forward here with this. So here's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to answer why we fast. Number two, what happens when we fast. Why we need to have faith when we're fasting. Types of prayer and fasting and personal application. That's what we're going to cover today. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the time that we have together today. I pray that you would speak to us. Help me to communicate what you have put on my heart. Have your way in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, number one. Why do we pray and fast? I'm going to be throwing a lot of stuff at you. It's going to be not your typical sermon. I'm going to be throwing a lot of verses at you. Now, at the end of this, if you say that, Eddie, I want you to send me the outline, email our office and I'll make sure you get it, okay? If you want all these points and verses. Why do we fast and pray? Well, first off, under this first heading, number one, Jesus fasted. Jesus did it. Now, let's just close the Bible and move on. We can just leave after that. Jesus did it. 40 days and 40 nights. And interesting here, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Did you catch that? He then became hungry. I mean, he fasted 40 days and then he got hungry. Of course, he was God in the flesh, and so he had complete mastery over his flesh. I can hardly go 3 hours and not get hungry. And so he is our example of why we need to fast. Jesus himself did it. Number two. Now, some of these points I'm going to go through a lot faster than others. Number two, under that first heading, fasting is a tool. Fasting is a tool. And here's a quote I have for you. Fasting is a spiritual tool God uses to advance his kingdom, change the destiny of nations, spark revival, and bring victory in people's lives. It is a tool. It is something God wants us to do. Our salvation is based on nothing but his grace, what he did on the cross. But he challenges us to do something with the faith that he's given us. And part of that is the toolbox that he has. And one of these toolboxes and the armor of God that he gives us is fasting. See under this. Fasting is prayer and fasting is warfare. Prayer and fasting is warfare. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of forces or fortresses. So we are in a spiritual battle, whether you want to be in it or not. You're in a spiritual battle whether you're a Christian or not. Whether you believe the Bible, period. There is a spiritual battle. It's just that if you follow after Jesus, you'll be on the winning team at the end of the age. You're going to be on the winning team. So that everything, so it's a spiritual battle. And it says in Mark chapter 9, it says, and he came to them, he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. He was casting a demon out of a young child. And it said, this can only come out through prayer. So there's a battle that takes place when you fast. There is a pushing back. I believe there's a devil. I believe that he doesn't like us. I believe he's got demons. I believe he's attacking us. You know, I just believe that through warfare we can push back the thoughts that can bombard our minds. In warfare, I can go on in that, but I don't have time to dwell on that much here. Number two, under the main headings here. What happens when we fast and pray? Number one here under this point. I put I up there. Number one, anyway. We gain spiritual strength and power when we fast. When Jesus returned to Galilee, this is after he had fasted for 40 days, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding districts. He came in the power of the Spirit, and it built him up. It's interesting how I've heard this many times, that at the start of a new year, New Year's resolutions, that you go down to the local gym and the parking lot's packed out with cars. About 3 months later, you can hardly find a car in the parking lot, except for the dedicated, a few dedicated that are there. So in this, we need power. So when you go to the gym and you see people working out, or a bodybuilder, or you run 5 miles, or you can time yourself. How long does it take you to run a mile? How many weights can I lift? How much strength? Really easy to measure when your body is being built up and your stamina is being done. It's not always as easy when it comes to prayer and fasting, because it's hard to tell sometimes what's really happening. But you can. It's easy to measure things in the natural, but it's hard to measure things in the spirit. It's like, and here's the way I like to visualize gaining power through prayer and fasting. Anybody seen a bodybuilder when they do all their, I'm even embarrassed to do that compared to some. They do all this kind of fancy stuff and their muscles are bulging out, and they even got on their cheeks, got to even have muscles. And the earlobes have muscles. And I look at that and I say, when a person fasts and prays, spiritual muscles come on them. If you say, I don't think I'm doing anything through this fast, visualize a wet bodybuilder and all those muscles they have. That's what's happening in the spirit for you when you fast and pray. And I promise you, you'll see victory in your life like you never had. You will see it. So I might can't do this, but I'm hoping in the spirit my muscles up here. All right. That's what I'm believing for. We need power in this life that we live in. You got to have power, not just in your own strength. Because life is challenging, life is hard, life has things that come against you. And if you don't have the power of the Spirit of God inside of you, you're not going to make it. Or you're looking in your own strength the best you can, but you'll never accomplish and be what God has called you to be. Because we need power. We need more than what we can do on our own strength. And we can get that through prayer and fasting. If Jesus got it through prayer and fasting, who's the Son of God, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Believe that we can get some power through prayer and fasting? Number two, prayer and fasting is an act of humility and consecration. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Don't anybody look at me and say you don't have any pride in your life. Matter of fact, if you did, that's just showing me you got pride. It's an act of humility. And Psalm 35 says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. Ezra said, then I proclaimed a fast there in the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. Humbling ourselves. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And I don't know of anybody who doesn't have some pride in certain areas, including me. I feel like I've had God deal with me more in that area and beat the whatever out of me. I'm not sure what word is appropriate here in church. But beat me in the spirit to get me to be humble and to let Him deal with me. And so all of us need periods of time of humility. Well, we need to go before God and say, I don't have it all figured out, Lord. I've been making some mistakes. I've made mistakes. I haven't spoken to my wife like I should. If you're single, I haven't treated my family like I should. I haven't treated my coworkers like I should. There's something that we all can go and say, we need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And so all of us have this inward thing inside of us, which is called pride. No matter how much money you have, everybody, this is something that plagues humanity. Most of the problems we have in this world is caused by pride. It gets right down to it, the boastful pride of life. And so by fasting and prayer, you're humbling yourself. You're saying, God, I know I'm weak. I know I need You. I know I haven't arrived. And I just need Your help. It's a consecration moment. Those kind of moments change your life. One time, I probably said this before, one time when I was in college, and I threw my Bible on the ground, and I said, Lord, I stood on, I said, humble me, God. I was praying, humble me, humble me. I learned very quickly you don't pray those kind of prayers. Because if you ask God to humble you, He's going to humble you.
Yes, He will.
So my advice to you is go ahead and humble yourself. Instead of God humbling, Him humbling you, it's better to do, I promise you. You know, either you're going to fall on the rock or the rock's going to fall on you, according to the Bible. So go ahead and humble yourselves. I learned the hard way. Go ahead and humble myself. Number three in this section. Like I said, I'm having to move through this some here. Their spiritual breakthrough happens when you fast. There's a breaking of the yokes. Isaiah 58 says this. Is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? A yoke is something that's got a hold of you, a sin, a struggle, a pain, something, a hurt that grabs a hold of you and affects your life in a negative way, is this yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then verse 8. Then your light will break out like the dawn. Your recovery will spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. What are you believing for this year, the breakthrough in your life? What in your life are you believing for this year, the change? I had a friend of mine was telling me a story years ago about how his dad was in the Soviet Union. And I don't know if you've ever been to the former Soviet Union, but the economies are really bad in these communist nations. And his dad, every time, he said, and it's for some reason for years this has stuck in my mind, his dad would go on a fast every time he needed money. And God, in the midst of communism, nobody can stop God. I don't care, you know what your political leanings are, or communism, whatever it may be. God is going to have His way. And this man cried out to God, and he would pray, and he said, God, the money would just show up. Because his dad knew the power, the source of his power, was to pray and fast. Even when it looked impossible, he did that. Prayer is the work. You know, you can accomplish more in 15 minutes of prayer than you can hours of stress and anxiety. It says right here in James chapter 5, reading inside the ESV, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. Great power. And it's working. You want to break free from the yoke? Prayer. Confess your faults one to another. This is the King James. Sometimes I like to quote this version. And pray one for another, they may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer means heartfelt, passionate, God going after God. That's what a fervent prayer means. But that's where your breakthrough comes in. That's where prayer and fasting come in and change your life. Number four, fasting brings clarity and sensitivity to the Spirit. Acts chapter 13 says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. They were praying and fasting, and God spoke through another person there and said, set apart. It wasn't like an angel came down and said that. The Holy Spirit spoke through someone, and they said, set apart for them, because there was a sensitivity to the Spirit. You know, for me, I usually get more clarity and more breakthrough after the fast is over with. You know, when I'm in the middle of the fast, I'm just barely hanging on sometimes, trying not to go get the cheeseburger down at, you know, resisting that, trying to sleep and cold. I don't know about you, I'm cold every night when I'm fasting, but anyway. And so, I got myself distracted. What was I saying? Anyway, clarity comes after the fast. So after I've crucified the flesh, made it my slave, once I've done that, I feel like on the other side of that, clarity comes. You ever been in life and you felt like you were in a fog? Certain things in life are just foggy. What am I supposed to do now? Am I the only one who's ever been in those moments? When you're trying to figure out what 2019 holds for you, most of us probably are a little cloudy. But that's why you pray and fast. Let me read some scriptures to you here. It says, For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. When you come into God's presence, you see light. You start to see it. Proverbs, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Let me read that again. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. In other words, the closer you get to Jesus, the more the light begins to illuminate in your mind and bring clarity to you with what you're going through in your life. Number five here. I'm having to move along here. Brings revival. Our vision at this church is what? Somebody tell me the vision. Somebody be bold. Reaching our city to change the world. All right, now we got to say that together. I think we all know that. Our vision is reaching our city to change the world. Revival is not going to come. An outpouring of the Spirit is not going to come until we pray and fast. I don't know if you're ever familiar. Back in the 1800s, America had what was called the Second Great Awakening. And there was an evangelist there called Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? It is said that he would go into cities and he preached and he won over 1 million people to Jesus in the 1800s. That man must have had some strong wind pipes because they didn't have PA systems back then. But he would go into a city. But you know, he didn't go in there alone. 2 weeks before, he would go into a city. He would send in prayer warriors. This guy named Daniel Nash and another one called Abel Clary. And they would go into a city. And for two, they would rent out a room somewhere, and they would stay for 2 weeks and pray and fast before Charles Finney ever showed up. They were the unsung heroes. And Finney himself said that if it was not for them, none of this would have happened. And we have evidence in America that this happened on our soil. A great awakening that came, birthed by prayer and fasting. And then Charles Finney, of course, was one of the most powerful preachers you'll ever hear. I mean, I've never heard him because they didn't have recordings back then, but as far as his writings. So it's going to take some sacrifice for us to reach the city. It's going to take us some effort to reach our neighbor or reach the people we work with or our family members or whoever we are. It's going to take some effort to do so. But that's what brings revival. 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people who are called by my name, it's a very familiar scripture, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. The Democrats and the Republicans are not going to heal the land, y'all. It's going to take the church and a revival to heal the land. Number three. Over the main third point. Why do we need faith in prayer and fasting? Are y'all hanging in with me? I'm throwing a lot at you. That's why I said if you want the notes later, I'll give them to you. But we're throwing a lot at you. Why do we need faith in prayer and fasting? You know, we're saved by faith through grace, that not of it. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that any man should boast. So that's basically our salvation is not based upon anything that we do. It's based upon what Jesus did. So that's what they call salvific faith, the theologians. But there's an aspect of faith where God wants us to trust Him and believe Him. A faith that we make a mental assent to say, I'm going to trust in you Jesus that this is going to happen. And God challenges us to believe Him. If the Lord Jesus will challenge us to believe and have faith that He's going to do it. In 1 John it says, therefore we have this confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, according to His will, if you're asking for a Lamborghini today, the Lord's probably not going to give it to you. All right? You can't even pay your insurance. How are you going? Anyway, let's just move on. So this isn't just ask God for anything. This is be in sync with what the Lord is saying and then pray and you know you got what He's saying. There's certain things in the Bible we know God wants us to do. We know He wants to bless us. We know He wants to reach people with the gospel. We know He wants to heal us. We know a lot of the things that God wants us to do that He's revealed in us. Therefore, we pray and we believe and we ask for it. And then when it's individual stuff we're believing for, we just have to go before God and say, Your will be done, Lord, but I'm believing You for it. So there's an aspect of us that we have to have faith to believe that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. And what's in our hearts, the visions, the dreams, we got to have faith that God is going to bring it about in His timing.
Yes.
Just because you don't see it happen today or tomorrow or even 5 years from now doesn't mean God is not going to do it. It means sometimes it's about timing. It's about His will, Him lining things up. Most of the time it's about getting us right in our hearts so that He can give us what we're praying for and asking for. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request with which we ask for Him. If we don't pray with faith, we're just going without food. There might be some medical benefits to going without food, I hear, getting the toxins out of your body. But there's no spirit. If you don't combine it with faith and belief, you're wasting your time fasting other than the physical benefits you could get out of it. We have to join, as we're praying and fasting, we have to join our faith to believe God. Let me move along. I'm giving out of time here. And now Jesus answered, saying to them, another scripture, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. So if I have something in my heart I want to believe God for, I'm going to speak it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to trust it, and if for some reason it's not in God's will, I'm just trusting He'll take care of it. But I know God wants to reach the city. I don't have to think about that. I know God wants to do that. I know God wants to bless us. I know God wants to touch your life. I know He wants to heal your family. I know He wants to do these things. I don't have to sit there and think, is this God's will? Should I stay with my wife? Is it God's will? The absurdity of that sometimes. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the man of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And without faith, let me listen, this was our final verse on this point, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him.
Yes.
You've got to come to God in faith, believing that He's going to hear your prayers, that He does hear your prayers. All right, number four, as we're moving in, I got to wrap this up here. Types of prayer and fasting. Okay? I could keep on and on about preaching about that, but let's just jump through some practical things here I think that could help us over these next 10 days or so. Obviously, when you fast, it means you're supposed to be praying during that time. You know, I've done fast before. I just gave up a meal, didn't pray. I didn't do anything different. I just didn't eat.
Yeah.
That's just, you know what that is? That's just a busy day at the office and you can't got time to go eat. Oh, but I'm going to claim that as a fast. No, you're supposed to be praying when you're fasting. But first off, there's different kinds of fasting. There's fasting where there's no food and you drink only water. There's other fasting where you can have a juice fast, where you can go without food and you can just drink juice. I've done some of those, and 5-7 days, and they're quite life-changing, let me say. Then there's Daniel Fast, which I've had to go to more because of my age. When I was a younger guy, I could go. But Daniel Fast is basically only vegetables. You can go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 12. You just eat vegetables. You don't eat meat or sweets or anything like that. That's a fast, and that's a good fast if you want to do something extended, like through the whole 10 days or whatever day. That's an easy way. Plus, if you're very busy, if you have a physically demanding job, you got to eat. You can't. You're gonna get sick if you don't. If you try to do it. If you try to say, "Man, I'm gonna go 5 days no food and just drink water," I don't think you'll make it through the week if you're going. Especially if you're gonna try to run a marathon at the end of that week. So anyway, another kind is, for instance, if you have medical reasons and you can't fast, meat or food. First off, you got to take. You don't take. Any, don't do any fasting. If you're on medication, without permission of your doctor, as far as getting away from food. But if you can't fast food, you can fast TV.
All right, go ahead.
You can get up earlier, give up a little bit of sleep and pray. You can fast social media. Maybe we all need to do that. Eddie, you're starting to meddle a little bit. I don't want you to talk about that right now. We could fast sweets. We could fast the news. For the older group, we could fast. We all just read the headlines and quit reading the articles for a week. But the main thing is, the point is that you're denying yourself to seek after God. You're denying yourself something that you want to seek after God. There's different lengths that you can do in this. But it doesn't really matter, as long as you're dedicating yourself to God through this, the length of time. You can fast one meal, as Blake mentioned during the announcements, or you can do a 10-day Daniel fast, or do a one-day Daniel fast. Whatever works for you, you need to hear from God, or you just need to step out in faith and do it. And again, I'm going to say, if you don't want to be involved in this at all, that's fine. But for me, in my house, I'm going to do it. And we're going to come in on Friday, and we're going to believe God. But it's really totally up to you how you do this. But I feel like it's critical in 2019 for us to do this. And number five here is personal application. I want to challenge every one of you to write down, number one, your personal goals, faith goals for this year. At least one, two, three, whatever it is. It could be spiritual revival in your heart. It could be physical healing. It could be prosperity in your life. You need a breakthrough in your job and you believe for the finances, or generosity. If you feel like, "I want to be able to be a bigger giver this year, I want to make money so I can establish, give to the church and the kingdom," whatever it may be, is write down your personal faith goals before you start your fast. What you're believing for you personally, and what you're believing for the people that you love. Secondly, family. What are your faith goals for your family? If you're single, what are your faith goals for yourself and your family? Those that are married, what are your faith goals for your marriage, your children? If you're single or a single parent, what are your faith goals for your kids? Write them down this year. Write them down so you can, when you go into this fast, you know. And thirdly, what is the church? What is your basically praying for this church? What are you believing for this church? What is your ministry in this church? What is your role in helping reach the next generation in this church? What is your part to play in service to God, reaching the city to change the world? Pray about that. What am I called to do? We're all called to be missionaries in the community. We're all called to those kind of things. What is anything specific God would put on your heart? Like, for instance, "I'm going to believe God, I'm going to witness to so-and-so at my job. I'm going to believe God to share my faith with this many people this year. By the grace of God, I not to brag, but just to let you know that I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done. I kept up with records last year of how many people I invited to church. I invited 30 people myself to church last year in the community. Just, I thought, I'm going to do something. Somebody knows. And I keep records for myself. I hold myself accountable for how many people I invite to church or how many people I talk to. This is a personal thing for me. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying, for me, I need to stimulate myself in that. So in conclusion, as we wrap this up, once again, I want to emphasize to you that I'm not trying to put a yoke on anybody here today, but I want to challenge you to really seek the face of God. Join with us in this 10 days of prayer and fasting, that God will bless us, that He'll have His way in your life. I want God to have His way in your life in 2019. Betty, why don't you come on up here with your band? I want God to have His way in your life in 2019. I want Him to have His way in your life and your family's life, your children. And I want Him to have His way in this church in 2019. So let's get together. Let's pray this week. We have the 10 days of prayer and fasting. We have a list on the days that we're going to focus our attention on. This is pretty broad here. If you'll like us on Facebook, Instagram, you will get a notice each day of what we're focusing our prayer on. And then we're going to come in on Friday night, next, not just coming Friday, Friday after, and we're going to pray over these things, and we're going to believe God to have His way in your life this year. We're going to believe God for you individually, and then have it corporately believe God that He will speak to us and propel us in 2019. All right? Let's don't waste this moment. This could be a critical moment for us personally and corporately, where we can come together under the banner of Jesus and cry out to Him. Amen. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, I pray for everyone here. I don't know what happened with them in 2018. Maybe it was good, maybe it was bad, maybe it was somewhere in the middle. But I pray in 2019 that You would speak to them, that You would give them peace, that You would lead them and You would guide them into all that You have for them this coming year. I pray the yokes that have been there holding them back, the trials, the tribulations that have been there, the yokes, the burdens, I pray this year we would see it lifting off of each of every person, that what they're believing for would break forth this year, that they would see the hand of God in their lives this year like never before, that 2019 would be an amazing year personally and for the kingdom of God here in this church. Lord, we thank You for it. We trust You for it. We believe You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand up and let's give the Lord a hand clap?